Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, we're going to continue our study on worldview, that there's more than one. What we're going to do here tonight is talk about a topic that's really prevalent in our world today. We hear it quite often. And that is the concept of disparities. Disparities. I'm going to issue a disclaimer to start off, because we're going to go through some scriptures here, because it is Bible study, of course. But in no way are we going to take a deep dive into these scriptures. And so don't accuse me of, you know, scratching the surface and taking stuff out of context. What we're looking for are the principles from the scriptures we want to provide, okay? Because I think that God has a lot to say about disparities. Okay? Now, when we think about disparities, let's start off talking about what it means. What is a disparity? The formal definition is that a disparity, being a noun, is a noticeable and usually significant difference. A noticeable and usually significant difference. Disparity contains the Latin dis, meaning apart or non. So a disparity is a kind of non-equality. The word is often used to describe a social or economic condition that's considered unfairly unequal. A racial disparity in hiring, a health disparity between the rich and poor, an income disparity between men and women, and so on. Its adjective, disparate, accented on the first syllable, of course, dis, right, is often used to emphasize strong differences. And we can certainly get a glean of that from the way the word is used. In fact, the contemporary use is to describe not just a noticeable and significant difference, but an unfair difference between people and things. So when we hear the word disparity, particularly as it's used in our society today, it is oftentimes not just a reference to something that is unequal or different, or even significantly different, but it's unfairly different, okay? Now, what I wanna do is just run through some of the disparities that we may have heard about in our society today, and we'll talk a little bit about what we think about. Anybody have any ideas of what types of disparities there are? We can talk either general or specific.
I can give you an example.
All right, and we'll find a word for it.
If I'm understanding the word correctly, it's like my white male counterpart doing the same job that I'm doing, but make $100,000 more than me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's called, I mean, what?
Not 100,000.
You got about 40.
I exaggerated a little bit, but I said that to search to say the disparity. You know, I said that to say the difference of the income.
That's income disparity, right?
It could be gender disparity.
That's why I said you got gender disparity. Okay, you got ethnic disparity.
You spelled gender wrong.
I was thinking general.
Okay.
All right, that's my homeschooling teacher. Yes. Now y'all see what I did math. Yes. I stay in my lane. Isn't that right? I would stay in my lane. Okay, we got gender disparity, ethnic disparity. What are some other kind of disparities?
Wealth disparity and how much money you have.
Okay, all right. Wealth disparity.
Educational.
Okay, educational disparities. Right, I thought for sure.
I didn't even say health.
Ah, I'm about to say for my health people, I thought I'd get something here. Health disparities. Okay.
Well, there's age-based disparities.
Age disparities. Uh-huh. Age disparity.
Ability.
Huh?
Ability, like physical ability. If you work.
Okay.
That's
a good one.
Like a physical, a handicap.
Okay. All right. Physicals. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. And what about maybe some specific ones? For example, let me give you an example. We say educational disparities, right? But can we be more specific, right? We got the general disparity, there are educational disparities, but we can say academic disparities. Now, what you may say, well, that's just a different word. Well, it's really the same. Educational may speak more of the system, whereas academic speaks more to the individual. In other words, there are disparities in the grades in a class. There are disparities in outcomes, right? There are disparities in the number of African-Americans that graduate from college than another group. So you got educational, which is all-encompassing, that's general, but then we have some specific disparities within some of these groups. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Any other ideas? All right. See, another example is income disparity might be sort of under wealth or some other things, right? Or more generally, economic disparities. So economic would be the umbrella, but then under that you got wealth, you got income, you have, right? Okay. Anything else? And think about what we hear in society. I mean, we don't have to come off the top of our heads. Yes, sir.
Would ethnic cover race as well as religion?
Uh-huh. Okay. Religious disparities, yes. Ethnic.
Technological.
Race. Technological. Okay. So here's the deal. Now, what we're talking about here, in essence, all right, now we have all these disparities. I'm going to put this up here. Disparities. Okay. Now, I've heard some doozies out there. I mean, I've heard climate disparities. You know, I mean, they just try to tie anything that they think going on and say, you know, the climate is disproportionately affecting those of color. They're like, it's hot to everybody. You don't know who you are, you know what I'm saying? but yet we do that. In other words, watch this. And we spoke about this in previous studies when we said you put an adjective in front of it. Right? That's what we hear about.
Race-based
disparities. Right? It's not enough to understand that there are disparities in this world. But the minute we attach race to it, it invokes an emotion. Right? Now, keep in mind, and I want you to understand that, yes, we're talking about disparities, but we're not going to talk about the disparities themselves. I'm not here to advocate for or against or justify or argue one side or the other. Remember, what we want to do ultimately is say, what does God say about disparities? Right? How should we look at disparities through the lens of God's word? That makes sense? Okay. So what I want to do here is this. First of all, whenever you're hearing about disparities, I'm going to bring some
science in here so that we can get an idea of disparities in light of what we just stated, race-based. How many of you are familiar with the bell curve?
The bell curve. Okay, the bell curve. All right, we got the bell curve.
And I'm trying to write this. So we got this here. And that bell curve basically looks like a bell. And in the middle, now y'all bear with me now. Okay, this, you know, I'm in my zone now. You know. All right. In the middle, we have what we call the mean. That's the average. Okay. And there's this thing called the empirical rule.
Yes.
Now, the empirical rule gives you estimates of what portion of the region under this curve will fall into different areas, okay, regions. Now, what is interesting about the bell curve, first of all, is that many human slash physical phenomena follow this curve, all right? Heights tend to be, we talk about heights of humans, they tend to fall in the bell curve, right? Gender specific, of course. In other words, the mean height of women is about 64 and a half inches. That's about 5'4" and a half, right? So if I use that example, the empirical rule will tell me that if I go so many standard deviations from the mean, either left or right, I can expect about 68% of the population to fall within that region. Okay? Now, if I go two standard deviations out, right? Now, together from here to here, we're talking about within two standard deviations, about 95% of the population.
Back here.
He's trying to show his pops that he's paying attention in school. Yeah, that's good. So about 95% of this population will fall within here. Now, if we do the math, that means about 13.5% is in this region, 13.5% is in this region. And so we can kind of say, you know, we use that for approximating probability. So I could say, for example, for sake of simplicity, if this was 64 and the standard deviation was 2, then this would be 66, that's 68. This is 62 and that's 60. So I can say that there's a 13.5% chance that my wife is between 66 and 68 inches tall, 5'6" and 5'8". 13.5% chance. Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if I still have this out here, right? So now if this in between here is 95%, all right, now y'all can do this math. How much is out there?
5%.
All right. Now, 5% is out here. How much is out here?
2.5%.
Now, remember, this is 60 inches. So that tells us that about 2.5% of the population of women will be shorter than 60 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
My friends, that's disparity. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Right? Disparity is just, it's in the world, right? And not just women's height, but men's height. Men's shoe sizes, women's shoe size. You know, if you have if this is like 5.5 and you got a smaller foot and you wonder, is it so hard to find shoes? Well, they know only 2.5% of the women have a shoe size that small. They ain't making that many. You up here? So we kind of get an idea of disparities, right? Now, can we say, now there's a disparity. Now, can we say, well, how come you don't have a size 5? That's because I'm black. But that's what happens. You see, because we know that there's disparities, but then we race-based, right? Okay? So the idea is understanding as we view things from God's perspective, we got to say, look, variation is everywhere. In fact, you know, when I teach statistics, that's one of my opening lines, is that variation is everywhere. People's heights varies, people's hand length varies, people's shoe size varies, people's hair length varies, people's incomes vary, people's hair colors vary, the color of the cars they drive vary, the size of their house varies, the variation is everywhere. And we have to understand that that's a natural phenomenon. And so we have to be careful to quickly run to race just because there is a disparity. Okay? Now, we're going to tie all this to the Bible, so hang with me here. Now, there's another type of distribution, because remember we said most human distributions follow this bell curve. There's also what we refer to as a skewed distribution. So it kind of looks like this. Okay. Now this is considered skewed right. Whatever side the tail is on, you can have something skewed left. Okay. All right. So this is positively skewed, negatively skewed. Well, there, what we're talking about is the distribution of outcomes. Always remember that when we say the bell curve, we collect data. We say, okay, what's your shoe size? What's your shoe size? What's your shoe size? I'm collecting data. And the outcomes from that question is what I'm just tallying on my line here, right? And over time, that's when those outcomes kind of form a pattern. And we refer to that as a distribution, okay? All right, so distribution, disparities, outcomes, all these words sound familiar, huh? Okay, all right, so they say follow the science. I'm just trying to help them out here, okay? Now, what type of information follows this kind of pattern? Well, believe it or not, incomes is a real prominent example, all right? Think about it, most people's incomes are down here. You only got a few people up here, right? That's the 1%, right? I mean, that tail kind of, ooh. That makes sense? So incomes tend to be skewed. They're not gonna be bell-shaped, right? I think about when we lived in Rochester, we were in one sub and across the street, and you gotta understand those houses were like, 180s, high hundreds. And across the street, you had similar houses. And in that neighborhood, it was quite amazing, lived Barry Sanders. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, he lived right across the street. Modest guy. I mean, you'd think he had a big house. I mean, he lived in a house like the rest of us. Okay? And we run into him at the gas station. And so what's my point? If I was to collect data on incomes, right? And we say, okay, this household has this income, this household has this income. Most of us that lived in that neighborhood, we're all about, down in here. But then you had Barry, right? We call that if it's way out there, an outlier lies outside of the overall pattern of the data. Right? Is this, y'all with me? All right, that's good. Now, so we see now most human phenomena follow a bell curve. There's going to be disparities, and we can even capture how the disparities will distribute themselves across those outcomes. Well, those that don't, they might follow some other distribution. Now, there are many distributions out there, but these are some of the major ones. It's either skewed right, skewed left, et cetera. Now, this is what is a valid distribution, but we erroneously try to apply it to everything, right? So if this is here, we got this distribution. See, that's referred to as a uniform distribution. In other words, all of the outcomes are about the same. So what we want to do is take that bell curve and take those tails and we want to take Barry Sanders' salary and we want to bring that on down. Right? But the question is that how the world works? No. But yet, this is what we want. Now, there are some times when we have some very valid uniform distributions. Okay? But the point is that it's not always the case. Okay? All right, so there are two important questions you want to ask whenever you're dealing with or you hear about or engage in a discussion of disparities. Two important questions, okay? The first important question is why? Okay, yes, there is a disparity. Why, right? Don't just go, yeah. You know, right?
Yeah. I don't know why they don't have that size 5. I'm looking for a 5 too.
Okay. It's not always this, right? And so we have to ask why. Yes, there is a disparity and because there are differences, but why is that difference there? And I mean, that could be a reason. But at least ask the question why, so you can discuss it and you can probe, okay? I was listening to a podcast, for example, on income disparities, and the guy had an interesting thought. He says, we gotta be careful attributing wealth and income inequalities to race and systematic racism. He says, there was a study back in the 1970s and it's carried on throughout that when you look at not just disparities nationally, between groups, but there are also disparities within groups. And this study showed that when you compare American-born Blacks with West Indies Blacks from Barbados, Jamaica, and some of the other places that have immigrated here, particularly the second generations, mm-hmm. where it becomes a little more difficult to distinguish whether they're American-born or West Indies-born, their income was 50, a West Indies, those from the West Indies, second generation, their incomes were 58% higher than American Blacks. And 15% higher than the national average. So it's kind of interesting, right? So when we talk about income disparities as a group, we're going to address that and say, we as a race, we as a people make less. And that's because the system is against us. Well, we got to be careful, right? Because if that's true, then how is it that even within our own group, there is a group that outperforms the other group, right? And so his premise was
if we the only concept, and he was forthright, he says, listen, I understand that when we get the people from Jamaica and the West Indies and they're immigrating here, we tend to get their best. Okay? They're the ones that tend to come and make it here. However, the one constant there, though, because of second generation, is the racism that we supposedly face. Because, you know, the police officers don't know if they're American or Jamaican. The teachers don't know if they're American Blacks or Jamaican Blacks. Or the boss doesn't know if you are an American Black or a West Indies Black. You see what I'm saying? So what else is it? And he says, well, maybe we have to look at culture, right? Right. See, American Blacks, we get chided for doing well at school. Yeah. I think of my own testimony. Those of you who play basketball and know about basketball, there's this thing called being a tweener, you know? You're kind of in between one position and another, right? I'm too tall to be a point guard, but I'm too short to be a forward, and therefore I'm going to struggle at the next level. You know, that's one of those things that they call you a tweener, okay? Now, I was sort of a tweener when I was growing up. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I lived the life over here that said, you know, yeah, I'm in the streets and I'm doing my thing. But internally, I was over here saying, man, I ain't really about that. I mean, now I didn't know Jesus. No one had shared Jesus with me. I thank God that I can look back and say that was the call of God on my life. But I didn't know anything. I'm over here living one thing, but internally I'm over here saying there's got to be something better than that, right? Got to be something. So in my mind, I'm a tweener, you know? I'm sort of in between, you know? And so that's how it was with me with school. I mean, I was a good student, but I didn't necessarily do my best. Why? Because my culture said, man, you're doing homework. What? Oh, man, you're going to be living in Grand Blanc somewhere, man. You're in Flint. Back then, Grand Blanc was the suburb, you know? You know? And so there was always that, you know, are you really one of us? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to be one of them? Right? And that's what I really had to face. And so that's our culture sometimes. So maybe it's culture. Why do the Asians, for example, do so well? Because they value education. He went on to say that the West Indies, they tend to value education. They tend to be unobstructed from the ridicule of doing well in school. Okay? So there's some other areas that might be in play. All right, so let's talk a bit about the second question. The first question we're going to ask when we hear that is?
Why?
Why? We got to dig deeper to say what's going on, right? Okay? The second question is, how does God view it? Remember, this is a world, right? How does God view that disparity? Okay. In other words, it may not be okay, but it might be all right. I hope that makes sense, right? It may not be unusual. It may not be a phenomenon that is out of the ordinary, right? Okay, so we're going to look at some of that here. We're going to take a look at some scriptures now where we're going to talk about some outcomes, right? We're going to talk about And this is something that we've all also heard. Here we go. This is a buzz phrase here. Diversity. What's the next word?
All of it.
Equity. And and inclusion. Right? Now, all of these are served to render justice, right? I mean, so it is all kind of all tied there, right? And, you know, in fact, you know, we're you know, people are getting hired, getting paid big money for this. I'm wondering, what do they do? I mean, you know, just call people and tell them to come speak and, you know, getting paid big money, okay? So we're gonna kind of look at this from a standpoint of equity. It was talked about previously in Bible studies. In fact, I'm gonna pull from one Bible study. I was going back over some of them, and Elder Jews did one. I thought, man, I could have used that for tonight, quite frankly. So we'll talk a bit about that. But remember, we're just gonna water ski over that. We're not gonna do deep dives. And the one thing that we did talk about was this whole thing of equity, okay? And remember that equity has to do with what? You might remember Elder Seabright gave the illustration.
Opportunity.
Okay, opportunity. That's what we would want it to be. But what does it really end up being in their minds? In most people, equal what?
Outcomes,
yes.
Quality.
Yes, yes. All right, there you go. There you go. So opportunity and outcome, right? And remember, outcomes, we expect disparities, bell curve, skewed left, skewed right, possibly uniform, but we expect unequal outcomes. The problem is we're trying to force a uniform distribution on everything. Want everybody to get paid the same. Want everybody to work the same number of hours. We want everybody to have the same living conditions. We want everybody to have drive the same kind of car. We want everybody to eat, right? But the reality of it is, there are disparities, right? Nobody's denying that. Again, the question is, questions are why and how does God do it? Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit about that. We got basically four different scenarios we're gonna look at. Now, when we talk about effort, it's gonna be our opportunity. I'm gonna use some words that are if you will, a replacement, but it's going to be basically the same, right? So we're going to talk about equal opportunity and equal outcomes, not necessarily in this order. Equal opportunity and unequal outcomes. Unequal opportunities and unequal outcomes. Unequal opportunities and equal outcomes. You see, I mean, we got all those different scenarios that could happen, right? We can all have the same opportunity, but different outcomes. But we can all have the same opportunities with the same outcome. But we can all have unequal opportunities and have the same outcome. Or unequal opportunities and different outcomes. Okay? So we're going to see how this is played out in some instances in scripture. Let's take a look at Matthew 20, 1 through 16. This is the one that we went through with Elder Jews while ago, the laborer in the vineyard. Okay. And we'll see which one this falls under. All right. So I'll quickly read it as you find it. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go in the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out again and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. Right? Because the man got it done. He said, you go in the vineyard too. When the evening came, and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last fruit to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, the last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us and have borne the burden and the scorching, who have borne the burden and the scorching of the heat of day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. You did not agree with, did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. And I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Mm-hmm. So the last shall be first, the first shall be last. Mm-hmm. So what is that an example of? Given those four scenarios, do I need to write them down again?
Okay. Unequal opportunity, equal outcome.
Unequal opportunity, right? Equal outcome. Right. There was unequal opportunity, right? Unequal effort. I mean, they've been working all day long, and then they come and work for an hour and got the same pay. God says that's okay. are you right? Right? I mean, there's a disparity there. Not so much for outcome. The disparity was in the opportunity, right? I mean, he went out at the 12th, the 3rd, the 6th, the 9th, and the 11th. And what were the people doing?
Various things.
Mm-hmm. The same thing?
What was that same thing? Based on the scripture.
No, you said that he went out each time.
Yeah. And what were the people doing every time?
Everyone was
standing. They were standing.
Right. They were doing something different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging on the block. Right. Okay. Right. Now they're over there toiling. So, in other words, right, the effort was different on the front end. There was a disparity in effort. But there was equal outcome. Yes, sir.
So would you say in that particular parable, was that an hourly wage that they were given or a salary that they were given?
It was a daily wage.
No, I mean, mm-hmm. It was a fixed amount.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Okay. So it was a fixed amount. And the people who came last or later in the day got the same pay.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the reason that they got the same pay? Was it because they did an equal amount of work?
No.
Was it because they spent an equal amount of time in
no.
the sun? It was because of what, according to that passage?
Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money?
Yes.
Right. And his generosity. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the workers. It had everything to do with the person who owned the vineyard, who had the money, right, mm-hmm. who asked them to work. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with how long they had worked, how much work they had done, the working in the sun, the heat of the day, none of that. All that was totally superfluous. That was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with what they had agreed on with the first group, right? And what he decided to do with his own wealth, right? Based on his own generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have went home happy because everybody should have got what was owed to them, mm-hmm. right? Some people would have maybe made out better, right? Mm-hmm. But that would not be because of some kind of evil intention on the part of the landowner. It was not because he valued them more. It was not because he preferred one group over the other. It was because he wanted to give them what he wanted to give them.
So you're answering that first question. What was the first question?
Why?
Why? Always ask why, right? Now, someone could have easily said, you know, you worked me from sun up to sun down because I'm black. right?
I'm sure. Well, because,
I mean, it would be easy to say that, assuming they were different ethnicities, but I don't want to read into the scripture, but I'm trying to bring it back to the time in terms of being careful to not ask why or not view it from God's viewpoint, then we start looking at it from our group perspective. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Wait, hold on. All right, let's say, like, Bible aside, if you were in a situation where you can't Bible study.
That's exactly
no, I mean, if, like, say with you, you worked night shift, 12-hour shift. Say you had a coworker, you came in, like, after your shift almost over, 4 hours, came back up, y'all making the same money. I'd be here.
I was thinking the same
thing. I'd be pissed.
They would not get that, though, because that was an hourly wage. But right now, in my current position, it's salary. Some of us come early and leave late, and others come late and leave early.
But what was going through the
way all get paid a salary?
Like, that sounds like some evil scheme to me, man. Slave out there in the yard working, uh-huh. Have dudes come in, walk around, uh-huh. Making the same money.
That's a valid point.
What if he had not paid them though first? What if he paid them first and they walked off and didn't even know that the other people was getting the same?
Yes,
money?
That's what I was about.
That's where the whole point of the parable came.
Yeah,
that's
what and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. Like, if you got the money that you agreed upon, why is what you're saying his pocket matter to you?
Well, I just
because I could have made the same money without working as hard. That's why it matters. And I feel like all my effort just got like smart on it. Like,
you didn't appreciate it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
have to spend all that effort when you made the people to understand it.
So see, the Junior will be back there advocating for unions. He'd be back there organized. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Junie, how would you explain the thief on the cross?
That's good.
How would you explain his opportunity?
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. They had the same opportunity to get right.
But he didn't have as much opportunity to live a life of Christianity. But he had the same equal outcome, which is heaven.
That is true.
But that's not justice. That's not, it's not injustice or justice. It's not justice.
But
that's good.
It just says, whoever so believes in me shall not perish, have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And then you being saved, is it based on your works? I don't remember John 3:16 saying, you have to do good for me or you're not going to heaven, you know? It said, whoever so believes in me shall not perish.
Okay, but let's go right there. Let's go right there. Because remember, we want to have a biblical worldview, right? We want to see things from God's eyes. And keep in mind that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is this great love story about his redemption of man, right? And it's no less with this parable. So the principle is, like the thief on the cross, right, is that I can pay people however I want. It don't, you got to unpark, right? Get it out of park. And right, you, so you're parking with a mindset of the world in some regard. If I worked all day, well, this ain't about us and our work. It's about God and his work and his resources, and that he has the ability to do what he wants to do. And therein is the disparities, right? Even with God, see, that's what we're trying to get, is how does God view disparities? And he's saying that even I'm okay with disparities because I'm paying people the same amount for disparate work, right? And like the thief on the cross, right? Remember in Timothy, it says, yea, who even desire to live godly shall suffer persecution. Right. Now, I know the brother's on the cross, but he ain't get a chance to get be persecuted. I mean, I've been living this life, and,
Big Mark, yes. So this, I mean, this has some serious implications about how as Christians, we should understand salvation. Right?
Yeah.
I was reading, I can't remember the first one I was reading today in terms of the idea of a preacher, having a preacher and hearing the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at this idea of opportunity, because people would say, well, all right, you grew up in a church. That's why you believe in God. That's why you accepted Christ. What about the people in some strange culture, country, that's not fair that God holds them accountable. I mean, they don't have a Bible. You know, you have these different versions, or even the so-called deathbed conversions, mm-hmm. right? God will honor a repentant soul on their deathbed in the same way he would honor someone who's not on their deathbed who accepts him. It's not our job to try to figure out what coulda, shoulda, woulda. They were both saved in that instance. And so we have to be careful as believers that we don't become the people who somehow or another feel we have the authority to undermine opportunity, mm-hmm. i.e., I saw that person, and so I'm not really feeling this whole gospel message with them. They're going to have to find out about God on their own because I'm not the one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the Moses, you know, syndrome. I don't know what to say. All these other things. That's someone else's job. We have to be, I mean, this has eternal consequences when we begin to feel as though we are the harbingers of opportunity. Yes, I'm saved, but nah, you don't got a chance, buddy. And so much so, I'm not even going to share the word with you. Whether we consciously think this or subconsciously think it, the effect is we in our crazy thinking undermine the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say go to just the people who look like you, smell like you, work like you, live like you. It's across the board. But people often talk about, well, it's not fair that ... But we have to be really careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit because we feel somehow or another we can decide who does and does not have an opportunity to accept the gospel.
Yeah, you kind of took some of my thunder here, but go ahead. That's good.
It said that there were those that were idle, like didn't work, right?
That were standing alone. Yes.
So, like, but in my mind, that kind of seems like somebody who, like, will make perfection because they want heaven, but then doesn't live it afterwards. But like you compare that to somebody on the deathbed, God knowing past, present, future, he can know, say they were to survive, they would walk in, you know, with my word, you know what I'm saying? But it's like the people who didn't work but are getting paid the same thing. It's almost like somebody who wanted to go up in front of the church and say, I'm getting saved, and then not do anything with it. They did it just for saved, just for heaven. And then they was living like everybody else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we can,
I feel like the situations are different.
Yeah, but we don't know the heart, number one.
That's, yeah.
And in the same way, we don't know why they were standing. For example, he even said, remember they asked him, you know, why were you standing around? Remember at the 11th hour? And they said what?
Nobody hired.
Nobody hired. So he probably wasn't privy to the opportunity, right? But when he got that opportunity, he jumped on it. Right. So we don't know the whole story. Like I said, we didn't want to do a deep dive into this.
Right.
Okay. Yes, sir. Last comment.
So the types of people that you're referring to are people that want a savior and not a Lord. People that want somebody to save them, but not somebody to live their life after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got those for sure. All right, here we go with the next one. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we got 14 through 30. The parable of the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. The one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had 2 received 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master came back to settle the accounts. The one who received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you gave me 5. I hooked you up. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And likewise, the one who had received 2 brought his 2 and said, look at what I did. And the one, and he said the same thing to him. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Yeah, he said, God, you an entrepreneur. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. All right. I hid your talent. At least he acknowledged it wasn't his. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. In other words, you know I like gaining stuff without the work. I'm invoking you to do the work. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you the opportunity to do the work. And you decided not to. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Okay? Now, the question becomes, what scenario was that? We already talked about the unequal effort, equal outcomes.
Yeah. second, I'm equal.
Don't they have the same equal opportunity, but unequal
outcome? I thought that would be unequal on both.
You're right, Aiden.
Unequal opportunity and unequal outcome as well.
That's right. He's right.
Because they're given less talent.
That's right. They're given different talents. One had 10, one had 5, one had 1. All right? So that's unequal opportunity. They had unequal.
Yeah. They had the opportunity to both invest. They were all given that opportunity.
Right. But they had, so, and the way I have it written here, you're right. They had unequal gifting. Right. And unequal outcomes. Right.
So I was going to say, even the one with the what was it, the 5 and the 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was it? One started with 5?
Yep.
He got 10.
Yep, he ended with 10, yes.
And the other one had what?
2.
2 and got what?
He ended with 4.
Yeah, each one doubled.
So they doubled, right? Mm-hmm. So that was what they were given. It was equal, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. in terms of the opportunity. And the outcome was also the same for both of them as well, because they doubled it. Now, you didn't have one of them that had 2 and he ended up getting 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one that had 5 and he ended up with 10. That would have been unequal opportunity, but with an equal outcome for those two. I guess the unequal part, though, I would get from the fact that they all had an opportunity that was equal to improve upon what they had,
mm-hmm.
to increase what they had. And if all of them, if the one who had 1 had made 2, I would say it was the same across the board.
Okay, so I would jump on Aiden's wagon in this case. And because the way I was looking at it from unequal opportunity is that the one that was given 5 had the opportunity to gain 5. Whereas the one that was given 2 only had the opportunity to gain 2. So that's unequal opportunity. The one that gained 2 didn't necessarily have the opportunity to gain 5.
But they did have the opportunity to double what they were given.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, you can look at it either way, but that's why I say unequal gifting. The reality was one was gifted 5, the other was gifted 2, and the other one was gifted 1.
I'll be like, you know, master, if you want me to bring back home more money, you should have gave me more of your money.
Now, here's an argument that you might have is that, again, see, every time I get the word, it's hard not to go further than I want. So, because remember, you always ask why, and we won't get this answer. So I don't want you to don't ride my wave here. It says when he said the one, I will put you in charge of many things.
Right.
He made that same statement to the one that had 5 and the one that had 2. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many is many.
Right.
Right. So in that case, there is the possibility for equal outcome depending upon how many is many.
Right.
The point though, and the principle is, we're all given unequal abilities, unequal gifts. But yes, we all have the same opportunity to work that gift for the advancement of the kingdom. But the outcomes may not necessarily be the same, okay? In other words, you know, the one who has the gift of evangelism may have an outcome of more people coming to the Lord than someone who has the gift of helps, maybe, right? So that's not necessarily true, but the point is, different gifting can result in different outcomes. Same objective, advance the kingdom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But we have to understand that when you talk about opportunity and income, everything's not uniform. That's where we're back to that. Yes.
And the word even teaches that there is even various levels of the same gift. Mm-hmm. So if you're even talking about evangelism, someone may be even more gifted with evangelism than someone else that has the same gift.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One gave it 10 or 5, and one gave it 2.
So in other words, God expects us to be the best that we can be with what he has given us.
And understand, yes, that there are disparities even in the gifting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what covet someone else's
right.
gift.
Absolutely. And so keep in mind, we're talking about God's view of disparities.
Yeah.
Right? Don't lose sight of why we're talking about it. Okay, last comment before the next one.
So would you say that what we have in today's society is the same idea of unequal opportunity and unequal outcome? Or would it be equal opportunity and unequal outcome?
That's a variation.
Yeah, I would say yeah, I got rid of my list. Depending on the disparity, it could be some of both.
Because I'm starting to, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm starting to believe that it's unequal on both accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're going to have some unequal opportunities, right? I mean, that's just the case. I mean, if my kids who live in the suburbs have a different opportunity than the kids that may live in Detroit or Pontiac, you see what I'm saying? And speaking of education, right? The spirits, right? Because of the resources that are available there are different than the resources that are available here. So that's kind of an unequal opportunity. However, it depends on how you define it. They all have an equal opportunity to graduate, regardless of the situation they're in. Just graduate, right? Take your two talents and make you, we got 5 talents out here.
It all depends on how specifically you put the scope, because if you think of it as a broader challenge, yeah, you have that same opportunity to graduate, but if you look closer, you'll see that you have the difference in location, difference in like environment, certain things like that.
Well, I think that's all part of the opportunities, yeah. But that's a scope that we're not trying to address now. Right? We're not trying to solve the world problems. We're just trying to get folks to think biblically, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next one. Matthew 25, 1 through 12. So we're going to go up one. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. What's that?
Equal opportunity.
Unequal outcome, right? Right? They all had lamps,
right? Mm-hmm. They all had an opportunity to have what they needed to keep those lamps burning, but five of them were foolish, right? Okay, and because of the F, now understand, and I think this is, you know, I think this is something that Junior and Aiden were alluding to. I want to bring this out, is that in all of these, right, where it's unequal opportunity, unequal outcome, unequal opportunity, equal outcome. So we said this is equal opportunity, unequal outcome. In between here is something very important, and that is effort.
Oh, effort.
Effort. Right? All right. I mean, they all had the lamps, but they were foolish and they were prudent. The prudent put in the effort to make sure their stuff was tight and ready to go. The foolish said, you know, they can be like me sometimes at the last minute. You know, you know, I can wait. I'm gonna get it done. Right? And so that the foolish didn't put in the effort when they had the opportunity to do so. And they missed the boat. Right? Okay? And so if you look at each of these, it's effort. The one with the talent, right? He didn't, the only effort he did was digging that hole. Right? The others were working at doubling their talent, right? The other case, right? There was an effort in between. Okay. All right, let's go with the last one here.
One of those things, just before we go on, as far as effort, I think another way you could look at that is personal responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Personal, that's good. Responsibility. Personal responsibility. Yes, sir. I like that. Okay, we're almost done here. All right. Now we're going to hit on one that this is over in Romans. This is somewhat what Ethan Woods had mentioned before, starting with Romans 3. And where it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then over in Romans 10, 11 through 13, it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Mm-hmm. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now we only got one left. What is that? This is actually, I have to admit, this is kind of a tricky one. But go ahead. What is it? Equal, equal. Equal, equal, right? Equal standing, right? For all have sinned.
Right.
I mean, that's all have sinned. So we all have equal standing and we all have equal opportunity, right? For the scripture says, whoever believes will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? For he is the Lord of all, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord. We all had that opportunity. But here's the trick.
That's not everybody.
That won't be an equal outcome. That doesn't necessarily lead to an equal outcome, does it? Right? Because some will call, some won't call. Right? So, yeah, the opportunity is there. We have equal standing, we have equal opportunity, but the outcome is going to be there. Right. You were saying?
No, I was saying, like, yeah, it's not everybody. Not everybody will.
That's right. Yeah, they won't come.
And he said that because you initially said equal, but it's not.
Yeah, but it was because it was equal standing and equal opportunity. Yeah. Those were the equal here. Okay. Yeah. We all are sinners. And we all have an equal opportunity to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the outcome is going to be different. Okay. Now, we're going to close with this. Let's go to Isaiah 45. I had a couple other things, but, you know, I guess it's always good to prepare more than less, right? Isaiah 45. We're going to close. In... Well, I don't have enough for another hour, but
who knows?
Yeah, I'm about to say I could have added, that's for sure. Isaiah 45, 17 through 25. Now, what I want you to do as we read through this is kind of throw some words out there that you've heard in society today and see what the particular verse addresses, okay? All right, so we don't have time to discuss it, but we're just going to kind of throw some words around. All right, let's see, 45, 17. Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. What can we glean from 18? And it could be some biblical truth that we need to share with the world, but we're addressing a biblical worldview. He's sovereign. And he's creator. Yes, he's creator. Okay. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in some dark land. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in a waste place. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declaring things that are upright. What do we get from there? Some of the stuff we've been talking about in these Bible studies.
Right.
Right. Okay, all right.
Right, right.
That's another word for right that we were after.
Just? I don't know.
That starts with a T. Truth.
Yeah.
Right? See, God, this is where we get find our truth. Right? It is not my truth and your truth and you speak your truth. No, God is the one that we get our truth from. Right, he speaks righteousness, declaring things that are right, that are upright. Okay, 20, gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitive of nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. I erased the word that I thought of and was up here right before I erased it. How about inclusion? Right? Gather yourselves and come. Draw together, you fugitive of nations. Right? Because earlier he said all of Israel will be saved. But now he's saying, hey, you know, y'all heathens can come too. Right? Okay, y'all serving gods that can't save, and all right, but you're welcome. See, we serve an inclusive God. All right. Declare and set forth your case.
Indeed, let them consult together who has announced this form of old. Who has long since declared, is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me.
I'm thinking of intolerant.
Okay.
In terms of God, there's none except me.
Yes.
Or exclusivity.
Right. See, he's inclusive, but he's exclusive too. That's the kind of guy we have. He's like, well, so what is he, both? All right. Remember, there was a question of, you know, is it free will or predestined? Both. You know, that's God, right? Okay. All right, good. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. We'll keep going. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. To me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. Now, that's a thing carried throughout even the New Testament, right? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right?
Yeah.
So what is that? What does that seem to do?
Nothing with power in that. Nothing, but it's not fitting the what you're looking for. I just see.
All right. Well, one of the and there's no single answer, obviously, it's God's word, right? But I see equal outcome. Right? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will. You can do whatever you want out here, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you got that opportunity. Right. And whichever outcome you fall on with that opportunity, there's another outcome that you will not avoid. You're going to bow. That's it. You're going to bow, you know, it's like that old Fram commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. Okay. All right, here we go. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him. All who were angry at him will be put to shame. And all who were angry at him will be put to shame.
This is a big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Justice. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. That's kind of, if we put that together with the end of 24, we're talking about justice, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things I was going to speak of was Psalm 73, where you know, the writer said, look, these people are all off the hook. You know, they eating the fat of the calf, they lying, stealing, cheating, and still prospering, and they're wicked, and all of this, and you know, and if I speak out, and I, you know, I'd be messing with generations after me just because this would happen. And I just get frustrated. And then he said, what? But then I went to the house of the Lord and saw their hands. Right? So he's saying, look, you've got some opportunity. And for us as believers, we can't say, you know, we're living this life
and we don't have the opportunity to have access to what they have access to. They lie, see, cheat, and steal, and they still prosper. And why can't we just, you know, keep doing the right thing, right? And notice says, but then I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, right? This is something that we got to continue to commune together so we can encourage one another through God's word, and we're going to see the goodness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to understand these disparities a lot better, be able to address people and respond to people, even if we can't necessarily address them because they won't hear it. Our response is going to be more pleasing to the Lord because we're going to see the world through his eyes. That's it.
Amen.